You are listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. Fresh Meat, an interracial erotic romance by best-selling author L. Loren. Spending bike week in Daytona Beach was supposed to be research for an upcoming movie role. Smoke had no idea all the perks of being an undercover biker would offer. He couldn't afford any mistakes, so he took a vow of celibacy. However, fate had other plans. As soon as he arrived, a beautiful little Spitfire sparked his engine, and he threw those vows right out the window. Baby Bird captured his heart in one day. Now his mission is to make her his and claim his own happy ending. Fresh Meat, part of the Lunchtime Chronicles by best-selling author L. Loren. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today. Passion's Pride, Alejandro, by interracial romance author Mahogany Silvering. Alejandro, the son of a jaguar king who doesn't want to be king. When he has a premonition of a human woman's fight with drug coyotes, he rushes to save her. He takes her on the run to keep her safe from the cartel, who mistakenly believes that she is stolen from them. Alejandro and Regina fall in love. However, when his father is killed by cartel enforcers, Alejandro is forced to become king. But Regina feels unworthy to be his queen. Can this reluctant jaguar king lead his people, protect his homeland, and make Regina, a human, his queen? Passion's Pride, Alejandro, by romance author Mahogany Silvering. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today. Welcome to the Mahogany Says Show. I am your host, Mahogany Silvering, and we have got a great show for you tonight. And I guess you have also heard my news commercial for L. Loren on her new story, Fresh Meat, which has been a hot topic. So everyone say hello to L. Loren.
Hi, everyone.
It's good to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
How you doing?
Thank you for inviting me back.
Yes, definitely.
I always have fun when I come here.
Well, I'm excited about this one. I have not finished it because I fell asleep earlier. Sorry, my bad. But I will finish it. But so far, it is good. I really like Cinta.
Thank you.
And am I saying her name right, Cinta? Or
Cinta. Uh huh.
Cinta. Okay. Yeah.
And smoke. She's,
it's right. And smoke is hot. Definitely hot, hot. And you brought back my girl, Mouse.
Yeah.
My favorite character. So I'm sorry, before I give it all away, why don't you tell us more about it?
Well, this one is my second edition of the Lunchtime Chronicles, and in this one, we see Cinta, who makes a very short appearance in Bottoms Up, my first book in the Lunchtime Chronicles. Mm-hmm. Cinta was actually on the yacht with Harley and the crew while they were partying.
Yeah,
but she doesn't
she's
have
sugar baby.
A sticky roll or anything. Yeah, she pretended to be a sugar baby. She likes older men, but she's not really a sugar baby. She just dates older men. And if, her thing is, if they buy her stuff, it's a bonus.
Yes.
But she's really not a sugar baby. Miss Cinta is like a spoiled brat. who lives at home with her parents, and she's a classic daddy's girl. Anything she wants, she gets from her dad. Well, her mother is not having it. And she, in the opening chapter, is like, you got to get out of here. You got to go and get on your own and find out what life's all about. We're tired of footing the bill for you. Go to Daytona and live with your aunt, work in the hotel, and make it on your own.
Right, because she's just like she's like, okay, wait a minute. You just like throwing me to the wolves here, but really they're not.
Right.
But I'm just trying to get her to grow up, but she's not having that.
No, you've been coddled your entire life, and your dad gives you anything you want. I have a problem with that, too. Just out of the blue, just walk in my room while I'm sleeping and tell me to get out? No.
Right? It's like, wait a minute. What you expect me to do? But and then she has to deal with Baby Doll.
Oh, my God.
Who is
Baby
like
Doll.
Eveline from the, oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Get to work. Oh, my Eveline. Goodness. They
For
sent
real.
Her to boot camp.
Baby Doll is a trip.
Mm-hmm.
She is the aunt from hell. You know, you want to. You think of your auntie as the one that spoils you?
Right.
Not in this case.
Not this one. You're like, yes, auntie, okay, bye. Just try to hide. Anytime she come down the hall, nope.
She expects Cynthia to work 7 days a week, long shifts, do what she tells her at all times, be at her beck and call. And it's like, Cynthia is like, no, thank you. I didn't sign up for this.
Nope. But that's family, right? You know, even legally, you can work your family and pay them $4,000 a year. You know that, right?
I did not. Ooh.
Yes.
I would do that to my family.
So I wouldn't do that either, but you can do it. I mean, even our tax transfer, she was telling us, like, yeah, well, you work for your mother, she only has to pay you $4,000 a year. I'm like, say what now?
Dang, that's messed up.
I mean, she did, but sometimes she would pay me in food, you know. Like, yeah, thanks for the food, Mom, but I need
you
some
wanna
cash.
You want to eat, right?
I know I want to eat, but I mean, you know, I got bills. All right, so tell us about this, the passion igniting between Smoke and Santa.
Oh, I enjoy writing this story so much. Santa and Smoke are just crazy together. They meet in traffic while they're, she's sitting in traffic waiting for it to move, heading into Daytona, and they come, the bikers come up. Because Smoke is a part of the Predators. And the Predators MC are headed out to Bike Week in Daytona Beach. And Cynthia was sent there. She didn't know that it was Bike Week. But when she found out, oh, she was happy.
I bet. She thought it was going
to
be horrible in Daytona.
Yeah, she thought she was being sent to the desert or something, and then it turns out to be Bike Week and lots of sexy biker men. So she is happy as she can be. And the scene that I really love was when they first met, when she was in the car singing.
Yes, in the car singing.
Trying to figure out.
Like, who is this? He really wanted to know who she was, right?
Immediate chemistry. Yeah, he wanted to know who she was. He didn't care about the song.
Nope. He didn't want to sing her song either. Well, you better find something else for me to sing. All right? I'm not having that. Wait a minute.
Well,
the last thing you want to do is sing some crazy song, right? You got to think of have an image to protect here, you know?
Well, he sang it. I love it.
I guess
he challenged him. But
they
have, like, this mad chemistry from the beginning, and they just have to be around each other all the time. And she's, like, blowing off work to be around him for the weekend. She knows it's just for the weekend, but she don't care.
she's got to do something happy because, I mean, she's got baby doll on her butt. So she got to do something to relieve that stress, you know.
Oh, yeah. Baby doll is crazy. Like they say in the book, who names a grown woman baby doll?
Exactly. And she's not even sweet. I mean, I don't get it.
Right.
You know, you think baby doll, you think, oh, sweet and, you know, funny and nice and, you know, cupid doll, something.
Right. It seems to allude to that. She acts like that around her own parents, but when she's away from her family, she don't act like that.
Mm-hmm. No, this evil side comes out. Now, I know I haven't read all of it, but is there some background on her why she's just kind of that mean? Just
well, yes, and it's headed towards Senta, but I don't want to ruin the book for you.
Yeah.
Or the readers. So I want you to read it. And once you read it, you're going to be like, oh my God, that's why she was so mean.
Ah.
It's a reason. And the mother, too.
Well, yeah. I kind of figured that. But I mean, sometimes mama seems a little jealous, though, over Senta's attention.
Mama's a lot jealous.
Yeah.
She has a reason.
Yeah. All right. So tell us, this is your second book with the Lunchtime Chronicles. It seemed to be really doing great, and you hit number one, so congratulations.
Yay,
and
thank you.
I am so proud of you. This is awesome. I mean, this is like, what, your third or fourth one now? Hit number one.
Actually, that one was my second. The first one was Bottoms Up, which is the first book in the Lunchtime Chronicles. And then this one, and then today, the box set that I'm in with Siren, Alan, and Shani, and Posey, and Francesca, and Fallon. The Cabin Fever box set.
Yes,
is number one
the Cabin
today.
Fever.
So,
oh,
yeah.
I didn't see that. Oh, okay. Well, I got that one too, so that's on my list. So when I'm not writing, I'm reading. But I try not to take my medication during the day, though it makes me sleepy, so that's why I nodded off. But I want to finish it because then I'm up at night if I take a nap during the day. So, like I'll be up just because if I'm not writing, then I'm reading something or watching TV. But, but I actually have you thought about doing any of the audiobooks with any of the books? Because I would love. Especially Samuel LaRue, because you got to Predators MC. That would be awesome. And then there's another one, your Christmas book, A Fat Ash Christmas.
Oh, Fat Ash Christmas.
See, that one was number one, too, wasn't it? I thought.
No, that one only made it to number two.
Number two.
And that was my fault because I didn't push it on the first day like I should have.
Oh, goodness.
It made number two, so...
Hey, it was up there. That was still number two. That's still pretty good. I mean, like two of millions of books that are out there. I mean, yeah, think of it that way.
It's category, so yeah.
It's in the bestseller category. So you know, see, I told you there
was
more
happy.
Than two. I was like, you should be doing your happy dance. I've been doing a happy dance with you because I'm like, yeah. Because I get excited when I see other people, you know, that I know make the bestseller list because I know how hard you work at this.
Right.
So it is amazing. I've broken to the top 100. I've gotten into the top 10, but I have not broke the number one just yet. But I'm going to get there.
Yes, you will, because you're an excellent writer as well.
Well, thank you. But yes, so I get excited when I see you guys doing it. I'm like, yes, here we go. Especially in a genre that has been, you know, it was kind of overlooked for a long time, and I'm so glad it's coming and moving to the forefront. It's really exciting to see, especially like I said, when I started, it was like a handful of us, if that, and to see so many. But I am a little frustrated because we're going to miss our get together in Daytona, so I was
know.
Like, well.
I was looking forward to that.
I was looking forward to it, too. I was doing my little dieting, trying to get into my little swimsuit. And not that we had much time on the beach, but, you know. Well, yeah,
I
but
no
you know,
dieting, but I was still looking forward to it.
I mean, I like D too, but wait a minute. I know. I think that was Renee and Sonia. we were sending each other meal plans and stuff, and I was trying because I used to be a personal trainer, so we were kind of like giving her different things that we could eat or substitute our food with. But and then COVID hit, so now that that's thrown out the window, but now I can enjoy my snacks without feeling guilty. So so there is that, but I look forward to it because then I was. You know, wanting to meet everybody, that was the biggest thing, you know, not just
I know.
Being in Daytona, but it's just, you know, to meet so many people and so many wonderful authors that I'm read and that I'm reading and, you know, especially like you and several others that I'm like, you know, excited because your books are fantastic. And like I said, some of your books really hit home for me. So, you know, but it's okay. I'll see you next year.
Yeah, and I'm only in Birmingham, so
that's
it's not
true.
That far from me.
Once
they let us out.
Right. So hopefully they'll let us out for the writer's retreat so I can go there. Because that's close to me.
That would be awesome. Yes.
Yeah. Because that's like, so, yeah, that's not too far from me. So I can drive there myself. So tell me, what was it like writing for the Lunchtime Chronicles? Because this is like
Chronicles
the second book.
Amazing to write for. First of all, it's all mapped out for you. It's so organized, so well put together by Sierra. If you had any questions, all you had to do was go to our site and pull up, and everything is there. And if you didn't find it there, you didn't look hard enough.
Wow.
But if you didn't look like you're supposed to, you could still contact Siren. I'm sorry. You could still contact Sierra. Sierra is a wealth of knowledge, and she would happily tell you anything you need to know.
That's awesome.
It was such a great experience to work with those ladies. They are awesome, supporting each other, everybody sharing each other's work, making sure that we all are making number one, trying to just everything about it. If you had any questions while you were writing, it was a
mm-hmm.
great experience.
Definitely. That is amazing. Well, I like the series, and I like Missy Mandy.
Missy Mandy is fun. Oh, my goodness, she's so fun.
Yeah, I was like, I have to check in on her every day just to hear something funny or see if or she's posting whatever, you know, just to check in because it is just too hilarious. So tell us about Bottoms Up. So how is that one still doing? Is it still up there? Or
Bottoms Up is still on the charts. It's not at number one, but it's still on the charts.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I am loving it. I have three books right now in the top 30.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy.
I bet. That is awesome. That's really amazing.
Yeah.
Definitely, see, girl, you got to get up there. You there you go. I mean, you're breaking it. You are living proof that the rest of us indies can get up there too. So, and that's what makes
me excited.
I owe
it all to Lunchtime Chronicles, though, because without the support of those ladies, I wouldn't be doing that.
Wow. Well, that's a great series. I mean, and Sierra, I know I was talking with her about the radio show, but my goodness, I mean, just talking with her, I was learning stuff from her too. I was like, I was trying to share with her, but
oh yeah,
like
anytime
telling
you,
some of the things. Yeah,
you work with her, you will learn. She's kind of, I deemed her my mentor, even though she didn't volunteer. Kind of deemed her my mentor. I was like, hey, I need such and such, and she always there to help.
That is awesome. I like the fact that you guys are able to do that. You know, where other people kind of attack each other, and especially in this business, and they don't, you know, some authors are like, nope, don't want to deal with other authors. It's all about me, but
yeah.
No one has an ego. And any of the authors that I've met or interviewed or talked to, none of you guys have egos like that at all.
No. There's no need for it. And we're all indies. We got to help each other.
Exactly. We got to help each other. Like, who else is going to do it? And my husband has been really pushing for, you know, trying to get it. He goes, people are always looking for paranormal romance authors. And he's given me this huge list. So I'm going to have to send it. I'm going to email it to you as well, because they are looking for interracial romance authors, like, badly. And especially if it's, you know, paranormal as well, too. So he's coming through with stuff. He's signed, and then the company went under, and then he was released from his contract. But he's back at it, and he sends out another one. I think he's about to be published with Austin. They're part of the Penguin Group, but
okay,
yeah. For his a Christian fiction book, so I mean it's really neat. But yeah, he's excited, so because he's like, I want to get off the road.
I know that's right.
I was like, baby, he's like, yeah, I need that advance check. I said, well, go for it. Do what you got to do. But it took me a long time to push him and encouraging him, because he was thinking, no, you're the writer. I'm not good at this. But I read his story. I'm like, yes, you are. You are. I don't care what you do. You are officially a writer. And you are officially
an author.
Isn't
that always the way?
Yeah. Because I know. It's like the ones who have the most talent are like, no, I don't. Yes, you do. I think almost 80% of it is just, you know, believing in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking, oh, can I do this?
Should I do this? I agree with that. Because when I first started out, I was so shy. And I'm an introvert, and I don't like talking around people. But I got more comfortable the more comfortable I got. And doing that, I started going to book events. And the more book events I went to, the more comfortable I got talking to the readers. And now I can just talk, and it doesn't bother me. But before, I would stumble over my words. And people were looking at me like, are you sure you wrote that book? I'm like, yeah, I wrote the book. I don't have to talk to nobody to write the book. But now I don't have any issues with speaking to people and talking to them face-to-face or about the books. But before, I had no idea what to say to anybody. They'd ask me about the book, and I know everything. I wrote it, but I don't know.
I know, it's like it didn't even come out. You almost have to kind of rehearse what you're going to say.
Right.
When you put on the spot, oh, what's it about? Well, well, see, this is girl, right? And I can't remember her name, but I know I used to do that a lot. People ask me my book about it. And children's books are not any easier. And even though it was about my children, it was still difficult to try to explain what this book was about. Because, you know, kids, they see the book is bright, colorful, it's got a panda on it, whatever. They're like, oh, I like this. And they just pick it up, you know. Parents are in the head, why should
right.
my child read your book, you know? Because they're the ones that have to buy
right.
the books. It's a little more difficult.
And they got
to interrogate. Yes, to persuade parents. Like, why did you? And then some people were like, well, why did you have to point out that difference? And I'm like, because kids see it. You think they don't see it, but they just don't care. Unless
right.
you tell
they
them to
care.
They
like
don't
differences.
Care. Exactly. You know, this kid is cool. So, who, you know, it's another kid. They don't care. But, you know, I did have a lot of kids ask my kids, were they adopted? You know, like, my kids are like, no, that's my mom. And if I was, she's still
wow.
my mom. So... Oh, yeah. We got that a lot.
That's rude.
Yeah. And even with
that's
my husband lying with us, it was, yeah. They would still pick at us, you know, just kind of just to see or ask, you know, what are your kids mixed with? I think, like, why is that a question? They're
but
my kids.
I guess
why does it matter?
Yeah. That would happen with characters in the IR books, too, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to put that in one of my books.
Oh, yeah, because people do ask that question. Even now, people still ask that question. I mean, I know we're doing the census this year, but it's like, come on. And for the first
you
time.
You don't work for them.
Right? You don't work for them. But, you know, but now for the first time, you can actually list yourself as biracial. So I guess
oh,
that's
really?
a. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. As soon as they put that thing out and I got it in the mail, I filled that out real quick. And lo and behold, it's connected to the stimulus check. So, like, hey, okay.
Oh, Lord.
I know. They always try to make it. I'm like, look, I filled it out. It's done. Okay. I'm just glad my children can check off both things instead of staying. Because actually, when, let's see, my daughter who's 28, she just turned 28. She actually had to choose one or the other. Because she, her dad's Hispanic. And she does not look black. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous, but she does not look black. So the lady filling out the paperwork when the office registering her for school, she said, well, she looks Hispanic, so I'm just going to put Hispanic on the form. I'm like, but she's both. She's not just one. She says, well, we have to choose one, and I have to go by what she looks like. And that was here in Georgia, and that's what they put. And this was, she was in the fifth grade. I'm like, wow, okay. But see, in Texas, that was never a question. No one ever asked me that. And she had been in school, but when we moved to Georgia, she's in the fifth grade. That's the first thing they asked me. It's like, okay, well, we're just going to pick what she looks like. Like, okay. But anyway, I digress. I'm sorry. I get to talking, we get to talking with you, and you are listening to Mahogany Says, and we are talking with best-selling author Elle Loren. And I'm going to take a short little break here to listen to some cool music and her new commercial. Fresh Meat, an interracial erotic romance by best-selling author Elle Loren. Spending bike week in Daytona Beach was supposed to be research for an upcoming movie role. Smoke had no idea all the perks of being an undercover biker would offer. He couldn't afford any mistakes, so he took a vow of celibacy. However, fate had other plans. As soon as he arrived, a beautiful little Spitfire sparked his engine, and he threw those vows right out the window. Baby Bird captured his heart in one day. Now his mission is to make her his and claim his own happy ending. Fresh Meat, part of the Lunchtime Chronicles by best-selling author Elle Loren. Available on Amazon. Get your copy today. Listening to Mahogany Says Radio Show with Mahogany Silvering, mahoganysilvering.net. are back, and thank you for joining us tonight on the Mahogany Says Show. We are talking with best-selling author, romance author, Elle Lorraine, and she's telling us about her newest book, which is Fresh Meat of the Lunchtime Chronicles. So, Lauren, tell us how you came up with the characters for this book.
Okay, well, what I usually do for my characters, I have my notebook, and first thing I have to do is find a visual representation. So found what Senza would look like and what Smoke would look like. And then from there, I just went off of the story. My stories always come to me either in a dream or while I'm doing other things. The scenes will come to me. So, and that, in this particular case, I knew Smoke would have to be a part of the Predators. Mm-hmm. But I wanted him to be more than just a biker, so I gave him a little twist and made him, he's actually an A-list actor doing research as a biker.
Wow.
So I made him that in the book. And for Senta, I just wanted her to play off of Bottoms Up, where she was hanging out with the Sugar Babies, and she just developed on her own. You know, the characters talk, and I listen. And
exactly.
I knew she was going to be a spoiled brat, so I let that part in, and then she just went from there. And it developed into, later on you'll see where she matures throughout the book, and you find out what her actual dream is, but she was too afraid mm-hmm. to go for her dream. But by meeting Smoke and speaking with him, she realizes that she can actually live out her dream.
Nice. So that's great. So he kind of helps her with that. That's good.
Right. He kind of helps her, but then it's almost like chance, because LaRue has a lot to do with that as well. So
I was going to say, it sounds like something Mouse would give him to.
Mouse helps with that.
Yeah. Yes. And the new baby. So will there be another?
Because it was bike.
Yeah. I know. But are you going to write about the baby though in another book with Ace and Mouse?
I might mention her or something, but I probably won't do a story with the baby. Maybe a Christmas story that might work.
Oh, that would be cool. You know, just a little seasonal one or something, because I really like the characters. So
okay.
Well, yeah.
I am currently writing Obsession, which is the follow-up to LaRue, and that one has Obsession, Matrix, and Baby, and a polyamorous relationship.
Oh, okay.
So, Obsession has her two men, and I mentioned them in this book, so you'll get to see their story develop in my next book.
Oh, nice. So is that going to be another Predators MC, or...?
Predators. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice. I like the motorcycle.
The Predators,
club.
Yeah. Yes. I do too. I can't get away from them. They just keep talking to me.
No,
like,
they keep up. Well, yeah. When you have those characters. Yes, definitely. That was the first book I read of yours, and she stayed with me. So
aww.
I was like, no, I got to keep up with Mouse. So when I saw her in this one, I was like,
Mouse.
Yes. Because as soon as I started reading, I was like, oh, my God, it's the same. Oh, okay, yes. I know these people. But, you know, not like I really know them, but, you know, we sometimes get excited. It's like watching your show. You're like, oh, I love her. But, you know, I know. That's just us crazy writers and people who like to read who get lost in the stories. we actually cry or cheer when something happens in the story.
Right.
You know, you've for weeks because they killed your favorite character, right? What did you do that for? You know? Yeah, i.e. Game of Thrones.
See, I've never even seen an episode of that show.
Oh,
not one.
I'm a big nerd.
I
have the...
Because I love Jason Momoa, but I've never seen it.
Wow. Well, I have the collection. My daughter works at Books a Million. Well, she used to work at Books a Million, one of my daughters. And she's the one that's 27. And she bought me for Christmas one year the entire collection. So I read them all. And then when it came out on, you know, HBO. I was like, oh, okay, yes. I was happy and excited, but still, you know, they changed some things just for, you know, dramatic purposes, but yeah, I was kind of upset when I started reading it. Because I got attached to the characters really quickly, so I was like, well, you just killed off everybody. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I was just saying that, yeah, how I got attached to Mouse, and I didn't want to leave her alone when I was writing, but I had to move on to a different story. But now she's back.
Yeah.
She's making her appearance in this one. And, you know, she'll have to make an appearance in Obsession, because her Obsession is her best friend. So.
Exactly. Yeah. So definitely, I'm looking forward to that one too. I have to check that off so I can make sure I see when that comes out, which I know I will, because I follow you anyway. So, or rather, I stalk you, you know.
So silly.
What are you doing now? But I know that's one of the things I say when we do our Facebook takeovers. So I feel like, yes, please stalk me. So you'll know what I'm up to. But yeah, so I get quiet sometimes, but it's usually because I'm writing or creating something or trying to finish, because I'm still working on the whole disciplining myself, because I think you mentioned a few shows ago about the speed writing and setting a certain time to, so I've been trying to follow that so that I can finish my stories and, you know, stay with them, because sometimes I have one character that's a little too loud. And I'm like, I need to finish this one. I will talk to you later.
Yeah.
But, you know, I need to finish this one. And while you're writing this one comes up with an idea. Hey, you're like, no, let me finish.
But when that happens, write it down.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Just write that down.
Yeah, I just, a little side
Trust
note.
Me, it helps you.
Mm-hmm. Or now I'm just taking the recording of my phone, because sometimes I can't write fast enough.
Because I have two characters talking to me at the same time right now, two different books, and I'm like, okay, I'll get to you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just jot this down right quick.
I know the one we have that's both coming out in September for the villains, and that one's popping up. Like, every time I sit down to watch a Disney movie with my kids or my grandbabies, actually, and it's like, hello. I'm like, no. Let me finish these first, and I will get to you. I mean, at least the cover's done. I can say that. And I got my outline. But, you know, whenever I started writing from an outline, I never actually go and follow it, because the story just kind of
goes
in a different direction. That's why it was such a long time for me to release Alejandro, and it's like, because everything I had written out for it, it didn't go that way at all, and I had to scramble to try to, like, okay, wait, that's not what I wrote down. But it was good.
Yeah,
so
I
had
that
to
all the time.
I had to follow it. It was and I missed Amazon, so now I'm penalized from pre-release orders for a year, because I missed it. I was trying to finish it. I was like, it's not going this way, because I had written it out, and then when I was trying to write, and as I was writing, it just changed everything. The whole, it just moved, just different direction, and then new characters popped up, and I have these two little other characters that are like, oh, they're almost like scene stealers, Culebra and Yolanda. So I was like, well, wait a minute, that was not even on the original outline, but I guess you gotta do that. Have you done that with any of your books?
I have. Actually, with Bottoms Up, I was writing it, and the character Dice in that one, which is the best friend, she was like 10 times worse than she is in the actual book that I released. And I was writing it, and it went one way, and then I was reading it to my husband, and he was like, oh, I can't stand that character. Why are you writing her like that? And so I went back, and I rewrote her, and people still hate her. They can't stand her. I'm like, y'all should have seen what she did before.
You actually tried to soften her up, didn't you?
I did.
Play it down a little bit. Yeah.
They can't stand her. And then I'm getting requests, is she going to have her own book? And I'm like, well, I think I might have to write a book for her simply to redeem her, because everybody hates this chick. And I'm like, what is the problem? Misunderstood, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, because sometimes you got secondary characters that pop up.
I made her likable.
No.
Like,
from
no,
what
she,
I
she
read,
she,
no, that's she not good. Sorry.
Oh,
but
she was ten times worse than the original.
Yeah. You know, you always have that one that you love to hate.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Everybody
can't stand her.
It's like she got it, but she's part of it, so that, you know, you can't have your main character without her, almost, you know.
Right.
It's like there's so much, you just like, okay, it just wouldn't be a story without her. So sometimes that happens.
So every day I get somebody complaining about her. I'm like, this is so funny, because I changed her.
It's like, geez, what if I had really written what she was really like in my head?
Right.
Making her, yeah.
I might have got some death threats or something.
Right. You got a breakout character there, I think, because Dice is something else.
I got to figure out a way to redeem her in the reader's minds. So I got to give her a real reason to act the way she's acting.
Yeah, because, you know, sometimes you have that to push your main character in a different way. And I think that's kind of what happened with me, just these secondary characters labor popping up and how weird he looks with one snake eye and, you know, he's stuck in half.
Yeah, that kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, uh-huh. And that's just the way I saw him, too. It freaked me out when I saw it in my head. I'm like, wait, who or what is it? Because this is supposed to be about jaguars. It's supposed to be sexy and cool. And what is actually sexy about a snake? I'm sorry.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
but look, when I wrote that scene with him and Yolanda, yeah, I kind of look at anacondas a little bit differently now.
Thanks
to the labor. I don't know. I really don't like snakes.
A shiver.
Yeah. That's like I said, you sometimes you have that character that just makes you like, oh, what is this? No, who are you and why are you here? But it was kind of that the one who was talking the loudest. like I'm part of this story now, you know, like because it's in my head. And I was like, I hope I don't have bad dreams from this, but I was trying to.
Girl.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to reading that part.
It's interesting, though. So those two are really interesting, really. And Yolanda, she got a snake fetish. I don't know. But
Girl, don't start. My mind is going everywhere.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, let's go back to the bikes and the hot biker. Sorry. So sorry, y'all. But it was one of them things.
I know with the COVID-19, they shut down Bike Week this year. It was in full effect, and then they shut it down. So I was like, oh, no, because the book is set for Bike Week, and I was kind of correlating it around that same time period. It was released, like, the week of Bike Week. And I'm like, oh, man.
Also, really the thing.
Somebody.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Daytona is covered with bikers for Bike Week, and then they have other events with bikers. They have several different events in Daytona Beach for bikers.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They take over the city.
Oh.
If you go to YouTube, I think they have some footage of what was actually out there. Most of it is just looking at the nice bikes and, you know, kind of like a car show on the streets. But it's way wilder than that. I think you're of age to remember Freaknik. It reminds you of Freaknik, but for bikers.
Okay. Wow. Huh. I didn't know that. Now I'm interested. I want to see now. Like, when everything calms down, of course. You know, I mean, there's always next year.
Right.
So. So we have to really go
and
on our
one
own.
Of the, that's why I yeah. give Senta, I'll give that little scene away where she runs to jump into one of the wet t-shirt contests. That actually
oh. exists.
They have them
oh, I believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
they
like
just
almost like
wild.
Spring break with the, yeah. But I didn't know it was a biker mm-hmm. week. So that is really cool that they had
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
That was nice.
That's like one of the most popular ones. They have them all over, though.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that. Aside from, you know, watching TV or reading books about motorcycle clubs, and my newest obsession is the Mayans. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's how I got that. That's where Calabra came from, too. It was kind of like, because the Maya people are where Alejandro comes from. So,
okay.
But they had the snake on there. So that's kind of also, I was thinking about that at that time. I think that's how it came
you
to me. But
right.
I know. And the funny thing is I really don't like them, even the garden snakes, because we had field mice where I live. You know, so we have a lot of king snakes. They're harmless to humans,
ooh,
but
they don't
they
look
will
harmless.
Go. They don't look harmless, but they will go after the rats and the mice. So you won't have them in the kitchen and stuff. You won't have them coming in the house because if you have a king snake in your yard, well, that's the best thing to have because it will keep the mice away and the rats away.
Yeah, but,
yeah, I know, right? But still, cut your grass.
Cut your grass.
I know everybody's, like, you know, isolating themselves, but cut your grass if you do not want snakes in your grass. You know, public service announcement right now. There you go. So not only wash your hands, but cut your grass. Because they're out there.
There were no snakes in my
book. Okay. So the Mayans, the MC, and, of course, the Sons of Anarchy MC. Those were my biker and things. But I used to date a guy a long time ago that actually, I used to ride in the back of his motorcycle, and that was pretty cool. But he wasn't, he was like one of those weekend bikers. It was kind of more for show. He wasn't part of anything, and you know, no group, no cut, no nothing. Just
well, hopefully one day you'll see the Predators and see you on the show.
Yeah,
I would love to write that.
I would love, yeah, that would be cool. That would be awesome. I'd also like to do, like, you know, an interview, like, with the characters. I thought that would be cool too.
Yeah.
as an idea for a show. Because I'm trying to think of different content to put out, and I would love to, like, interview the characters themselves, you know, or like have someone.
Well, you know, Mouse is always down.
Oh yes, that would be my first one, definitely Mouse, because I could see her, and I just, you know, I didn't even have to find a picture that I could just see Mouse clear as day. Like, I would just spot her no matter who was around, because the Mouse is what I have in my head when I was reading. So like. I love her. She would be the first one.
That's
and then
fun.
Ace. The Ace and his scowl, man. Just still sexy, though.
Oh,
it really is.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He can scowl. He won't to.
You can go to my Pinterest board and see the inspirations for Ace. And that's why he
ooh.
Has a scowl. Because the guy is so sexy, but he's just scowling. I'm like,
I'm gonna have to find that. See, I have to go on your Pinterest page now. Gotta look that up and see. I'm writing that down so I won't forget later. I know. I'm sorry. I'm silly. But but yes, I do like bikers, and that's why I say if I see the tattoos and stuff, it's like with the bikers, and that's just awesome to me. And I was just kind of expecting, you know, with fresh meat, like. He's got his shirt on, man. What's up with that? I just had to ask you that. Why is he wearing a shirt?
Look, I had to go with pictures that I could find. And this particular model spoke to me, and he did not have any shirtless pictures. So.
Oh, man.
But... He, that particular model spoke to me. I was like, this is Smoke. This is him.
Mm-hmm.
So I found him, and the rest is history. I have several pictures of him that I had purchased, but none of them are without a shirt.
Oh, wow. That's strange. Because I was looking for the model that I used for some of my books, and it's like, you know, there's pictures with the clothes on, pictures with the clothes off, but, like, yeah. I mean not their clothes. I'm sorry. Their shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to clean that up. I'm sorry. This shirt, not clothes. Because we can't put that on any public books. I don't care how erotic they are. We have to still be modest.
Yeah,
I had to quantify that a little bit.
He's fully clothed, but he feels sexy with a t-shirt on.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He is.
He's like, uh-huh, I just need to see it without it.
Yeah, we just got to see what he's working with, that's all. The arm. He got abs for days, but I wanted to see some abs for days. I was thinking, ooh, well, actually, I guess being in the gym and stuff like that, I know what it takes to build those abs, and that's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
So I can appreciate that. It is a lot of work, and it's your eating. It's not just working out. It's eating. I mean, you can't even, don't even think about having candy bars on a cheat day or cheat meal, excuse me. Not even a cheat day. It's a cheat meal. But it's worth it because it looks good, but it's a lot of upkeep. But I'm an arms and back person on guys. It's the first thing I look at. Their shoulders, arms, you know, chest. I mean, not guys that spend a lot of time in the gym just on those areas, because you can do more than just bench press to work your shoulders and chest. But yeah, that's my thing. That and eyes.
So. The eyes get me every time.
Mhm. Yeah, if they got the eyes, and then I go down, they got the arms. Yes, because I know what it takes to build that, and it's like I miss my arms too. Yeah, can you tell I missed the gym just a little bit?
Yeah, I can hear it. You need to get me a workout program to go.
I mean, I still got him every once in a while. You can see it, but yeah. I have my little fluffy on, and that was before COVID even hit, so it's all right, though. I'm still nice and beautiful and plus, so I'm thankful that I'm alive. So tell us anything that's coming up, any new books besides, I know you said you have Obsession.
Yes, I'm writing Obsession, and then I have a box set that's coming out later on in the year in September that I'm currently in the middle of writing as well. And that story is called Tennessee's Whiskey.
Ooh,
and it's going to be kind of like a friends to lovers kind of story. But I haven't worked all of it out yet, so I don't want to give away too much of it. But that one's coming, and you are going to be the recipient, the first person to know this outside of Sierra, who is my mentor.
Oh.
I am putting out a sex journal. It's called Love Rotica Sex Journal, and that will be released April 15th.
Ooh,
so
nice.
It is all going to be paperback, not ebook. So
okay.
That one is coming, and I can't wait for you guys to get it and tell me how you like it. And
nice.
Pretty much what I've dubbed as a single woman's guide to finding your O, which is okay for orgasm, in 90 days.
Ooh.
So it's geared toward the single woman, and got some fun activities for you to do in the journal, as well as you writing your experiences while you're doing the activities. So,
oh, nice.
It's
going to
be so much fun.
Oh, but I'm married, though. I mean, I still want to
read it.
Don't matter,
you can still use it.
You're like, you said it was geared toward a single woman. I'm like, wait a minute. Married folks, we like to have
it
orgasms
is
too, you know. I mean,
a single woman, because usually when you're married, you can get that O. Usually, I hope. I pray that you're
right.
Getting the O if you're married. But if you're not, you can still use the journal.
There's lapses in between. My husband's a truck driver. There's lapses in between, man. I have to.
Okay.
So when we do hook up, it's like really great because we, you know, 3 weeks pass, and it's like, wait a minute, you know. But I have to give him a day. I know, but I have to, like, give him a day where I don't bother him because he has to decompress and to recover and, you know, because I don't want to put added pressure. But, you know, sometimes I just want to be home like, hey, I missed you, that, you know, be like in my story.
And then pounce.
Pick me up and, yeah, pounce, carry me to the bedroom, that's it, it's home. But that does not happen. It messed me up, too, because I was listening to V's new release on audio, The Irishman. My God.
That one is a lot.
Girl. That's why I said, you need to do your books are so hot, especially with Vincenzo, Fat Ash. Oh, you need to put that one on audio because I need to hear that accent. I'm telling you now.
Yeah. I have
V
got to
nailed
find
it.
Audio
this guy,
actor.
He is. Woo! I had to look. I ain't finished the story, so I kept going back to The Irishman. It's like I just kept going back to, you know, I was like rewinding it, just so I could hear his accent. That's amazing.
I
know, that's bad.
Guy with an Italian accent.
Yes.
To record.
Yeah. Definitely. That. Yes. That Fat Ass Christmas. Definitely. That's one. Taming of the Rue is two. That's it. Yeah. So we need those.
And I need get your Hall heads up. Pass as well.
Yeah.
I really want on there.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
But I'm working on it, probably 2021, if I can't get it done earlier. Because I have someone that I'm working with trying to get her to record, but she's still learning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, like I said, check out ACX because you can find just about any, and you can audition people, you know, and you tell them exactly what you want, what you're looking for, and you will get a whole list of actors. So I'm just, you know, check them out. I mean, their services are really great. Some will take royalties. You can split the royalties with them as payment. So, you know, hey, just ACX, check them out. Definitely, because that's how I did mine with Leonessa. And a lot of people have been asking me to do more, but I'm like, okay. And Tony Walker was a real find, so, and I found him right off the bat. So, definitely.
Okay.
And I didn't even have to audition. I listened to his audition tape, and he didn't audition for me. He was for another book. And they have samples of their work, and he was just spot on. Yeah, so it's easy to find, but I know show's almost over, but it's been great having you on here again because we always get to, you know, just talk our heads off and about any and everything, not just books, but that's what makes the show fun and interesting and keeps people coming back for more. And congratulations again.
Thank you
congratulations
so much.
You deserve it.
I
it is well deserved.
You very much.
And come back anytime, really, seriously, for real. Just anytime you want to, girl. Just pop on in. Even if you want to pop in and ask a question, just co-host with me. It would be crazy great. So this is author L. Loren, and you should definitely, Mahogany says, buy all of her books, start reading. She's got a lot. So tell us real quickly where they can find you.
We are on Amazon.com. You can purchase all my books. Most of them are in Kindle Unlimited. So if you're a member, you can download them and read them for free. You can also find me all over social media, Facebook, author L. Loren, L.Loren, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. I am Rebirth of Lisa. And I have a website that you can go to. It's llorenwriter.wordpress.com. And if you go there and join my email list, you can get a free little novella about the Predators MC and how they came to be. And then that will help you know more about Taming of Liberty.
Yes, definitely. And I think you had another... There's a special part. We're still recording,
there's
we're still fine.
Chapter for,
yes, a bonus chapter.
bonus chapter for A Fat Ass Christmas.
Yes.
So you can get that as well.
That's awesome that you need to add that, put those together when you do your audiobook, hint, hint. I'm just saying, because, yeah, that would definitely be great. But thank you all for joining us this evening, and I hope you have a wonderful night. Be safe and take care of yourselves and always be aware, and happy reading. Blessings, peace, and love. You have been listening to Mahogany Says with Mahogany Silverain at mahoganysilverain.net. Thank you and good night.